Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is just pulling out something from a couple of verses and seeing the correlation in Scripture with the effect of vanity on the heart. The effect of vanity on us as individuals in the heart of man. And I'd like you, as we read through these scriptures, we'll see how vanity correlates to what is the impact of that, or the outcome or the results of vanity, and how that impacts the individual believers. But what I find is interesting, though, is the context in some of the passages in which you find what is being talked about. And I think some verses that you're very familiar with, and you see what's going on around it. But let's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read some verses, and then we'll talk through them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at thus a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. When we look at this passage, I want to key in specifically on most of the first verses we read, but we'll cover some of those things on the final verses. If you look back at verse number 14, it says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about, you see that, words to no profit. That they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So that strive not about words to no profit, that strive with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. We think about that, words of no profit, to no profit, words to no profit. The outcome of these words that are being spoken is that they're not profitable in the end. These words that are to no profit are vain words. They're words that are spoken in vanity. And one of the issues, one of the effects of vanity, we're talking about vanity and the effects of vanity on the heart. One of the effects of vanity on the heart is that it subverts the hearers. Is that not what the verse just said? It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Of these things, when they're spoken, there's the subverting of the hearers that is going on. And so, it's been a strategy. When you think about, you're speaking things that are not, that are vain, words to no profit. So there's empty words going on, but then there's also words that, when you think about vanity, you think about vain speaking, words to no profit, there's also like this babbling, right? First Timothy refers to it as vain babbling. And then it talks about in that context, in First Timothy, the vain babbling is talking about those who are desiring to be teachers of the law. And so these vain things that are being said is actually things that are not true, things that are not established in truth. And so this issue of words to no profit and vanity, you notice there in verse 16, the but shun profane and vain babblings. You see it there as well. And we'll get to that in a second. But this issue of the profane and vain babblings, it takes people away from the truth and it subverts the hearers. It's turning them away. And so when I look at this, I think to myself of this has been the strategy. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. This has been the strategy of Satan from the beginning. It's been a strategy of our adversary to subvert people away from the truth of God, the very Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, you're familiar with, you have the situation in the garden. God tells Adam and Eve that there's only one thing that Adam and Eve is told that not to do. What is that one thing? They're told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan comes along and he talks to Eve and they have a little conversation. And he doesn't completely lie, does he? But he talks her into it. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And it's been pointed out many times there that you have here Eve that's adding to what God had said, right? Because God said, do not eat. And here we have a testimony from Eve that says that neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And you don't find that in what God said in Scripture. You find that Eve is adding something there. And in verse 4 it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Are those words that are true or those words that are untrue? In a sense, they're true, and in a sense, they're untrue. How is it that they're true? They're true in the sense that physically, the moment that they ate of the tree, did they physically drop dead and die? No, they didn't. But did they die? They did, spiritually speaking, didn't they? They went from life to death the moment they partook of it. They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they died, spiritually speaking. And so you have Satan who comes about, and he's speaking words to no profit. He's speaking words that subvert the hearers, who turn the hearers away from the things of God and what God had said. It says in verse number 5, for Satan continues to speak, and he says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So there's words being spoken here that we think of Satan as the father of lies. He's a liar, and it's true. But if you think about vain words that are spoken today, people just talk to no end, don't they? I mean, they just talk, and what is the profit to the words? There's words that they don't even have knowledge about that they're talking about, and there's a certain amount of subversion that goes on here. And we're using a very specific example of lies here. But looking down at verse number 13, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You see, Satan spoke to Eve in vain words, or maybe if we take away the word vain there, we would say that it's words that subverted the hearer, was it not? Turned her away from God. When Eve says that the serpent beguiled me, to beguile means to delude or to deceive. Vain words, when we think about words in vanity, it starts to delude the truth. Vain words to no profit. Or we think about the vain babblings or the things that we should shun. First, it starts to dilute the truth. And then it does away with the truth. And then you get to the point where you oppose truth. I mean, you see that procession happen in many different areas of life, right? Look at the political spectrum when it comes to the morality in the country and the sinful actions. First, it was... homosexuality isn't an abomination. It's not really wrong. We should just put up with it. So there's a certain dilution of the truth, right? And then it's like, no, this is not wrong at all. Then you do away with the truth. And then they're like, we're proud to be it. And then now you're actually opposing the truth, right? There's a certain progression that goes along with it. So too, when I'm talking about vanity here, and I'm talking about worse, no profit, we're at the root, we're talking about the issue of truth, right? And we're talking about the erosion of truth and what it is that we're to be grounded upon. So Eve says that the serpent beguiled me. That beguile meaning to that delude or deceive or to take them away. Satan tries to lie, manipulate, twist, or use Scripture out of its dispensational context to subvert its hearers. We know that because, you know, he'll use Scripture, but he doesn't use it dispensationally correct, right? And so, two, there's vain words that go about that's not used correctly. Turn to John chapter 8. If we have a problem with vanity and vain words and subverting of hearers and this attack on truth, where do you think that it comes from? What do you think is its source? Well, Satan is a liar. We know that to be true. And in John chapter 8, look at verse number 44. He says, ye are of your father the devil. Jesus was so nice, wasn't he? What would Jesus do? Oh, he would never be mean to anybody. I mean, Jesus was very firm and had a very sharp tongue, didn't he? He was perfect in all his ways. I'm not criticizing him. What I am criticizing is the softness of Christianity today. So, you know, just so you understand that I wasn't mocking that. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. When you think about that, what did his lie to Adam and Eve lead to? They died, didn't they? He took away their spiritual life. In a sense, he murdered them by lying to them. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And so, forgive me for repeating myself. The effect of the vanity on the heart of men is what we're talking about. And the issue of vanity is being pulled away from the truth. And we have Satan, who's the father of lies. And the scripture says he abode not in the truth. He didn't root himself in it and stay in it. He moved away from it. He subverted himself from it. And now he's the father of lies. He's the father of the lie program. And he's trying to subvert other people from the truth. Come join me. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Because that's his identity. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He speaks about who he is. He's a liar. That's his identity. For he is a liar and the father of it. And he says, he's just not abiding in it. He doesn't have the ability to abide in it. So that's his identity. So when we're talking about the subversion of the heart, you understand where the root of that all comes from. Revelation calls him the one that deceiveth the whole world. If you think that Satan's plan to lie and to subvert hearers was limited to just the garden in Genesis chapter 3, that's not true. Satan has a plan today. You know, God has a purpose today. God has a purpose in the body today in the dispensation of grace. And he's doing something, right? He's forming believers. He's quickening their spirits, giving men life, putting them into the body of Christ, and the body of Christ as ambassadors. One day, we will inherit the heavenly places. Israel, he will return to and give them on earth. But in Revelation, he's called the one that deceiveth the whole world. In Genesis back there, Satan lies to Eve, and it results in death. Man has, since then, every man that's been born has been born in Adam, with their identity in Adam, and they've died. And since that time, Satan too has had a plan. And what is Satan plan? What is Satan's plan? Is he out there with a pitchfork, you know, and a little tail and horns? Like, is that's how, you know, popular culture, you know, projects him? That's not how he works. He has a lie program going on. He's wanting to subvert the hearers. You know, he's more subtle than any beast of the field. You know, you remember what I said? You know, cunning, liar, subtle. He's not going to come at you with a big neon sign that says, "Here I am, the liar, and this is what I'm trying to do." There's a subtlety there. So you have to be careful. We're talking about vain words, the things that you let come into your mind, and how that could turn you away from the truth of the doctrine. There's a subtlety there. And there is an effect there. So now come back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to flip through several verses, but we're really going to be coming back to 2 Timothy tonight. We're focusing on that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now we looked at verse 14. Now what's verse 15? Many of you could probably quote it, right? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now we quote that verse a lot. But did you ever understand the context of where that shows up in 2 Timothy and what's being dealt with? Here we're talking about words to no profit. That's what verse 14 said, right? Verse 14 said, words to no profit, subverting of the hearers. And so we're talking about words to no profit, vain words that subvert the hearers. And God, through the Apostle Paul, says the way to combat this, the way that you're going to combat the words to no profit, is you're going to study. And what is it that you're going to study? You're going to study the word of truth. The way that you're going to combat vain words is with truth. And you're going to study it. Because truth is not vain. Truth is not vanity. Truth actually means something. Truth is what you would be rooted and grounded in. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've been studying this in our Sunday school class. The issue of vanity and subverting of the soul is also linked to those Bible teachers who are non-dispensational. And I think sometimes, you know, we hear that and you're like, boy, you're really overstepping your argument, aren't you, Brandon? I mean, yeah, I understand you're a dispensational teacher. You believe in dispensationalism. You believe a ministry was committed unto Paul. But now you're telling me that this whole issue of vain words is by other teachers who are perhaps teaching the law or just don't believe what you believe. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm not overstepping my boundaries here, because look at what 1 Timothy says. Verse number 5, and some of you who've been in Sunday school should be familiar with this. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved." Remember in 2 Timothy, we're talking about we saw the subverting of the hearers. They've been pulled away from something. Here they've swerved away from the right thing, and they've turned aside unto what? Vain jangling. So the end of the commandment is Paul's no other doctrine to teach his doctrine. That's the mandate. That's the doctrine. Some had turned aside into vanity, but those empty and vain words were what? Was it gossip? Was it, you know, people like lying about Paul and slandering him? What was the vain jangling? The vain jangling was people teaching the law, people teaching the Bible, but not being dispensational, not rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says here, desiring, verse 6, "from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." They desire to be teachers of the law. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they affirm. And then they start talking, and what comes out of their mouth is vain jangling. It's vanity. It's something that's been moved away from the truth. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. And this issue of the law. Vain jangling, vain words. You know, just to get an understanding of what we're talking about here, we're talking about things that are not sound doctrine, things that are pulling you away from the truth. Vain jangling is not just somebody saying gibberish. There's actually a program, there's a plan, a strategy that Satan has. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 24. For as much as we have heard, so just to explain the context leading up to this verse, is you have those, the leaders in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, you have those of the circumcision which believe, and Paul comes up because some from Jerusalem had come down into Paul's churches saying that they had to circumcise and keep the law in order to be saved. Now, Paul's doctrine, the gospel committed unto Paul, says you don't have to circumcise in order to be saved, and you don't have to keep the law. Paul says in Romans, for you are not under law, but you are under grace. So you don't have to keep the law, you don't have to circumcise to be saved. Paul goes up to Jerusalem, and he confronts the believers in Jerusalem who are part of the kingdom program. And after all of that hullabaloo that they have going on there, it says in verse number 24, for as much as we have heard, so the leaders of the circumcision, the 12 apostles, say that we have heard that certain went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. You notice that subversion there again? What is it? Those people who are teaching the law, who are coming into Paul's churches, they're teaching a false doctrine. They're teaching something that's biblical, right? They're coming in, they're teaching something that's not dispensationally correct. And the words that they hear saying that I have to circumcise, I have to keep the law in order to be saved, what does it do to the believers in Paul's churches? It subverts their souls. It is a turning away from the truth. It's pulling people away from the truth. Subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So this circumcision here, just to be clear, is people turning back under the law instead of living under grace. The vain words, vanity, error that's being taught, subverting souls and working in men's hearts. Turn over to Titus chapter 1, working negatively in the hearts of men. We're talking about this issue of the law here, and I just wanted to point out this verse from Titus. It says in chapter 1, verse number 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers. So who are these people who are talking, these vain talkers? Now, when you think of vanity, what do you think in your mind? When you hear vain speech, what do you think in your mind? I'm not asking you to answer. I'm just asking you to think about that. And what we're showing here from Scripture is that issue of vanity is falsehoods. It's things that are not true. And what Paul is saying here in Titus is, he's saying there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Who are the circumcision? Are those atheistic, God-rejecting, immoral people that are trying to, you know, pull people away and say that there is no God? No, the circumcision are the people who believe in God, but what is it? They have the wrong doctrine, dispensationally speaking. They're saying that you have to circumcise and keep the law in order to be in a covenant relationship with God. In order to have life, you have to approach God through this way. Paul's saying, there are many unruly and vain talkers, vanity, and deceivers. The vain talkers is a deception. It's not truth, it's error. Especially they have the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. There's that issue of subversion again, right? So you have somebody teaching a non-truth, and what does it do to the hearers? What does it do to the hearts of the people receiving that? They hear that, and it subverts their souls. And here it says it subverts whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. He says here he would rather that these people just had their mouths sewed shut. You know, he'd rather these people not be able to talk. They're vain talkers, they're deceptive, and they're subverting whole houses. Satan is trying to bring people under the authority and control of something other than what the true God is doing today. And that is the subverting of the hearers, taking them away from that truth. He will try to trick you to put reliance upon Christian scholarship or anything that he can do, anything than reliance upon this book. Anything than reliance upon truth. He's trying to subvert you. That's the plan of the devil. Hey, what happens if he could get you to be subverted? What happens if he gets you to move off of the truth? How effective are you going to be as an enemy of his if he subverts you? Completely ineffective. Now, if you're working upon truth, quite a different story, is it not? If you understand your identity in Christ and you're working upon truth, there is work that's being done, but he's trying to subvert the body of Christ away from that. All right, back to 2 Timothy, just a few pages over, chapter 2. Look at verse number 16 now. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So what Paul says here is another effect of the vanity on the heart is that it increases ungodliness. It's not something that just moves you away. It does that, and that's bad enough. But if it continues and you continue in it, it increases unto more ungodliness. Look at what it says in, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but it says here in verse 17, and their word will eat at thus a canker. You know what happens there, that word canker? If I understand it correctly, when I hear that, I think of canker sore. But if I understand that word there correctly, it's talking about cancer. And what happens to cancer in your body? Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but from what I understand of cancer, it's when you have cells that go rogue and they keep spreading and increasing and increasing and increasing. That's why you have masses. When you have a cancer, we find a mass and we have to test the mass to see if it's cancerous because it keeps eating away. So here we have this situation where there's vanity of the heart that's increasing. If you continue in it, it's just going to increase unto more ungodliness and keep going and going and going. And maybe we've gone far enough without really explaining what the vanity is. I mean, I've told you at the base root, it's the taking away from the truth. But the word vain, the vain babblings and the things of that nature, it means having no substance or value or importance, right? You think of somebody who looks in the mirror at their looks all the time and you say, oh, they're so vain. There's no value in that. There's no importance there. But it's also in terms of without effect, as in a vain attempt, right? So vain babblings, you have teachers of the law who are trying to teach the law, and the things that are coming out of their mouth is completely ineffective. It's a vain attempt to try to get people to be righteous in their own flesh by adhering to the law, which has no ability to do that. So it's without stability or constancy. I found that interesting. You know, you look it up in the dictionary, you see different variations of the meaning of the word, and you see having no substance, value, or importance, without effect, and then it talks about without stability. And I thought that was interesting because in Scripture, when we talk about the issue of truth and being grounded in it, there's an issue that says if you move away from sound doctrine, you'll be unstable, right? You'll be tossed to and fro. I thought that's really interesting. It's just interesting how it all comes together. I wish I was a little bit smarter to bring it all together and really understand the dynamic of that. We're just glossing over the surface here tonight. Look back at Job 35. I think I shared this verse with you from Job when we were going through 1 Timothy on that issue of vain babblings. But to me, I love this biblical definition of vanity. It says in Job chapter 35 and verse number 16. This biblical definition of vanity or vain jangling and vain speaking. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. Ah, isn't that exactly what Paul said that the law teachers were doing, the vain babblings? He says, they don't even know what they say nor whereof they affirm. You know, it's almost as if Paul was in lockstep with Job. It's almost as if there's a consistency in the Bible. It's almost as if it had the same author. Boy, it sure seems that way, doesn't it? Amazing consistency. The issue of vanity there is he's multiplying words without... He's speaking things that have no importance, no value. And what happens? It subverts the hearers. One of the problems with vanity... Look over at chapter 16, is that not only is it not profitable, but it has no end. It says in Job chapter 16 and verse number 3, shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? Shall vain words have an end? I mean, what happens when these law teachers start going? Is there going to be any end to their vanity? They don't understand what they say. If they're speaking words that they don't understand, is there ever going to come to a point where they stop? No, they're going to keep going because they don't understand. So the words will just continue to be vanity. It's not, it says over in Job, you're right there, right? You're in Job 16. Look at chapter 15, verse 2. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? It's not becoming of a wise man to utter vanity. Yeah. In the business world, the clearest way to understand the person, you know, who is not mature or is not fitting is the one who just talks and they don't know what they're talking about. Have you ever been in that situation? And the people who do that are not wise. It's not becoming of a wise person to speak vanity. It's not becoming of a wise person to speak things that they don't know about. But yet, what do we have across the country going on tonight? We have teachers teaching in so many churches across the country tonight that are speaking words, and they're just speaking vanity. They don't have no idea. They don't know what they're teaching. They're teaching the law. They're teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're teaching that, hey, you got to repent and be water baptized in order to get right with God. You need to keep the law. You need to observe the Sabbath. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. It's all vanity. It's not very becoming. Maybe that's what we should say from now on. You know, it's not very becoming of you. I read a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in Germany when Hitler came to power, and his, you know, it was at the time when there was the Gestapo or whatever that was going in and taking people and imprisoning them if their neighbors said that they said something wrong, and Bonhoeffer opposed what was going on, and Hitler and his family was kind of high up in society, and they had some information and knew what was going on in some of the camps, and they were opposing it, and they were somewhat involved in the government, and so they were trying to subvert some things. But as a child, I remember from the book, as a child, Bonhoeffer's father was the head of the psychology department at Berlin, so if he's in psychology, he's probably very liberal. But the point being is that he was the head of the psychology at Berlin University or whatever it's called, a prestigious university. And his father did not allow them to speak words without meaning as a child. Like not speaking vanity, right? He didn't allow them to speak unless they had something to say that provided value. So there's this structure in the home that you didn't babble. So there was this, you know, very strict structure there. And I thought about that, and, you know, not speaking unless you have something constructive to say. And I'm not advocating for that, but thinking of it in terms of how we go about talking in our daily life and watching our tongues and the things that we say. So look over at 1 Samuel chapter 12. So we saw that one of the main points there is that the vanity of the heart, it just increases unto more and more ungodliness. But there's also an issue here in Samuel of that there's just no profit in any of this. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse number 21. It says, "And turn ye not aside." You remember that the whole subverting issue? The subverting is being turned aside. You remember in 1 Timothy chapter 1 where it talks about swerved, you know, just being pulled away? It says here, "And turn ye not aside." You know, it's like a horse that they put blinders on because this is the way we want the horse to go. We don't want it looking over here and going that way. Don't turn aside. "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." If you're going to go after things of no value, no effect, no substance, what value is there in any of that? What profit is there? There's no profit to you. And you look at the vanity of this world, you have, there are women and men who seek after the vanity of the flesh, right? Oftentimes when we think of vanity, that's what we think of. We think of the vanity of the flesh. Hollywood comes to mind, and then there's this, what substance is there in that vanity of the flesh? In a few short years, the strength of their vanity disappears, and then what are they left with? You know, they're so caught up in their looks and their appearance. What value is there in that? Now, I know that there's some women who say there's a lot of value in that. But the point is there, of the things that matter, of the things of true importance, of spiritual things, what value is there to this empty shell that you're going to leave behind one day? There's no value there. There's no profit to it. Get Proverbs chapter 12 on your way back to Ephesians. Proverbs chapter 12 on your way back to Ephesians. When it comes to these issues of vanity and the things that are said and the things that are spoken, we need to have some spiritual discernment not to follow those who speak those words of vanity and who lack understanding. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 11 says that he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. I thought about that verse for a while. My father-in-law, he farms, and the farmers have had a really difficult time this year. It was so wet that they couldn't plant, and after they planted, it just continued. They never got really good dry weather for it to grow and all of that, and so just a disastrous year for the farmers. But it says here that he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. And I think about that. You know, the people who have to work for something are more satisfied with what they have, right? Than the people who are just given everything and they become the spoiled brats and they're never satisfied and it's always. But you have a farmer, and if somebody has to the sweat of his own brow to produce that bread, he's going to be satisfied with it, isn't he? He's going to be satisfied with the fruit of his own labor. But there are those, I think, then at the second part, that the warning is that those who, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. if you're not satisfied with what you have and you're going off and you're seeking those other things, you're seeking the people who are speaking vanity, persons void of understanding, of no substance, of no value, then you're in trouble if you're following after that. So when we think about this, I'm pointing out the issue of discernment that we need to have. I ask you to get Ephesians chapter 5. And we see the issue brought up here in Ephesians where he says in chapter 5 and verse number 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." So people are going to come about, they're going to talk vain words. Don't let them deceive you, because we don't want you to be pulled away and subverted from the truth. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." That's quite a warning there. He says, "The vanity and ungodliness of this world will have the wrath of God poured out upon it." It is things that are not grounded upon truth. God hates sin, and he hates the father of lies. That's Satan. God doesn't like the lies. People live as if it doesn't matter. You know, Colossians talk about beware of the men who will spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Who will spoil you, who will take you away from the truth by the philosophy of men and vain deceit. You know, it's after that tradition of men. That's the warning. And the warning is not only for the body of Christ. There's a warning in Peter. I'll read it for the sake of time. But in Peter, it talks about in chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." There's a vanity that goes on in Israel's program as well that pulls away from the truth. And so the issue, the answer to vanity and the solution for the subverting of its hearers is one word. The solution for all of this is truth. The solution for vanity and the solution for being pulled away from it is to be rooted and grounded in the truth. I was going to read a passage from Proverbs. For the sake of time, I won't. But the opposite of vanity is the meaning of truth. I'll just quote one part from it. Man should not be striving for just any knowledge. You have people who, you know, will go to a university and just strive for knowledge and knowledge and knowledge. There's people who are like that. But you can learn a lot of things and still be vain, right? It still speaks words of vanity. But man should be seeking knowledge which comes from God and godly wisdom. And so consider this from Proverbs, where he talks about, he says, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments in thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Son, incline thy ear to wisdom. That's not man's wisdom. That's God's wisdom. And apply thy heart to understanding. And if you did that, it says later on, it says, if you incline your ear to this wisdom and understanding, he says, that understanding shall keep thee. It'll keep thee. And it'll deliver you away from the evil man. And it says it'll deliver you from those who speak froward things. So the issue here, the solution, is truth. Truth. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's not some immaterial warning, but this issue of not being turned away receives much attention from Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this in verse number 20. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Now, what was it that was committed to Timothy's trust? Look back at chapter 1. Verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul's committed his doctrine to Timothy, that he would commit it to other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And he tells Timothy to avoid profane and vain babblings, and that he would do that, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep the doctrine, Timothy. Keep the truth. In Titus, it talks about avoiding those foolish questions that are unprofitable and that are vain. We see the vanity today, right? We see it. You know, one example of vanity is you can look at James, and it talks about, you know, is there any sick among you? Bring them before you. And you have people who will anoint with oil and these things because they're taking Israel's program, things that are not true for us today, and they're trying to apply it. These men are desiring to be teachers of the law today. They get up and they say words and they try to do these things in their churches. And what happens? Does the man get healed? Because the scripture says they shall be healed. But they don't get healed. Nothing happens. You see these words that are spoken, and then they're empty words. They're vain words. They're trying to teach Israel's program. They're trying to put people under the law. They're teaching a wrong dispensation. These words are vanity. They're empty. Please understand, the word of God is not empty. But rather, when you do not rightly divide and you claim Israel's program that's not in operation today, those words are not in effect, and they do not have the ability to accomplish what the law teachers are saying that they have the ability to accomplish. They don't. They're vain words, and so they're empty. But boy, they sure make a lot of noise, don't they? Vain jangling. And so, I saw that happen in churches, and they'd call the sick person up who had, they were dying of cancer, and they called them up, and they read the passage out of James, and they take a little bottle of oil that they bought from the store, and they put it on their thumb, and then they put it on the person's head, and then they pray over the person, and then what happened to that person? They died. And what do you think that person who reads that text in James, and it says that the prayer shall heal the sick. What do you think that person who's reading that text then thinks about the text? Oh, well, I can't believe that. That must not mean what it says. So then they come over to Paul's epistles and they say, well, that must not mean what it says. So you have Bible unbelievers because people are speaking vain words, vain babblings. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2 there, we have this issue back and forth of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That issue of rightly dividing the word of truth is the answer to vanity. That issue of rightly dividing the word of truth is the issue of knowing what is true. And so when Paul talks about in his other epistles about being rooted and built up in the truth, you can't be rooted and built up in the truth unless you rightly divide the word of truth. The very answer to the profane and vain babblings in verse 16 is the answer that he gave you in verse 15. The answer to what's going on in verse 14, how do you stop from striving about words to no profit and the things that will subvert the hearers? The answer is 2 Timothy 2:15. So when you hear that verse in the future, and when you quote that verse in the future, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's the answer for vanity. And so what we tried to do tonight is to show the effect of vanity on the heart of men is it'll tug them away from truth. And the answer to the vanity that's going to subvert the hearer is to rightly divide the word of truth and stand upon that and be rooted and be built up into it. Study. How are you going to be rooted? You have to study it. You have to know it. That's the answer. That's the answer. So thank God that we have an answer. Thank God that he didn't leave us without knowledge and knowing. And there's a source of truth and a source of wisdom that we have his inspired word that's been preserved for us today in a book, that we have access to truth. What a marvelous thing. You know, the people go and they spend tons of monies for cures for their physical ailment, and you have the cure for all of your spiritual ailments available at your fingertips. Put it into you. Get it into you so it can work in you. That's the answer to vanity. I hope that we don't fall prey to that here. So help us to watch ourselves and watch the things that we do and say and not be moved away from the truth. Let's end there. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the answer that we have to vanity. Thank you for the answer that we heard that we have to be from being moved away from your truth, Lord. And Lord, help us to show other people that we do have a source for that truth that they can look towards your word. Most of all, Lord, we're thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and gave his life for us so that we might have life, his life for us, his life for ours, so that way we would have eternal life. Thank you for this. In Christ's name, amen.